Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve and Larson, and available anywhere fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, whether on you're on the YouTube or on the iOS podcast app or Podbean or whatever you listen to, Stitcher, any of those. We're also available at patreon.com/ Steven Larson, where if you want to support the show financially, you can do that. And you get like postcards. We have like a whole stack of postcards that are stamped and ready to go, addressed. You just need to put your autograph on there, Larson.
Yes.
Your signature.
I will do so as we're done.
Got a couple Patreon shirts ready to go out too, ready to be mailed out. So I'm going to get to that this week.
Speaking of shirts.
Yeah. Pro Wrestling Tees.
Go ahead. Pro Wrestling Tees at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw. 5 designs. Did you get a 6th design up this weekend?
No, sir.
5 designs still. More to come at some point.
We're
this
on
is
the
like
road.
The road to Spotify, isn't
We're
it?
We're on the road to 6 shirt. There we are. We got to be on the road to something, dude.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So what are we doing, Dave? Today, it's today is our focused Monday news show to recap the wrestling news that broke over the weekend.
Correct.
Again, this is like our we want to do something different than Dirt Sheet. So the format of the show is more like a sports radio show,
which is more interactive throughout the show.
Yes, as opposed to having news section, question section.
So what we do is on Monday morning or Sunday night, we post up a questions thread and say, hey, this is what topics.
Yes.
How do you do this? You produce this. So
yes.
How do you do the questions?
I go on Patreon, and like last week I said, this is, you know, if you have questions about the weekend wrestling news, here are some things we'll probably talk about.
Oh yeah.
This time, I wasn't exactly sure. There's a lot of kind of decent stories, but not a lot of, you know, major ones.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, if you have questions about the news over the weekend, ask it. Once I got a feel of what people were interested in, then I posted an update to said post and said, these are the topics we're going to cover today.
Okay.
So those are the topics we're going to cover today.
Yeah. And we do that over on we do all our questions threads over on the Patreon.
Yes.
For the most part. Dirt Sheet, sometimes we pull from Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, we try to.
But yeah, $1 a month. I mean, this is $1 a month, pocket change basically a month. You can get involved in the questions thread and maybe we'll answer your question. Maybe we won't. I don't know. Like that's where we pull from. So if you have a good question.
Yeah, we'll answer
it. We'll find it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, video questions. We do the same thing.
At $20 a month on the Patreon, it might be a steep price, but if you want your face on our show, we run all video questions that we get submitted on the Dirt Sheet.
Yes.
And then the apropos ones, we drop here on
the
Monday show. Monday edition. Anyways, let's get right into the news.
Yes.
First up, we're still sort of talking about this JBL thing, kind of in response, like a little bit, because there's some actual info about possible repercussions for his bullying of Mauro Ranallo, who also return to commentating
in an MMA organization in Japan, correct? Mm-hmm,
called Ryzen.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, and he had a couple little quips here and there about, you know, little jabs, if you will. I'll take that for what you will. Glad to see he's doing better.
Yes.
Let's talk about JBL first.
Yes. According to Cage Side Seats, and Sports Kita had a write-up about this bit of news, it seems that from WWE, in response to, you know, all the news about JBL's bullying that's kind of going around the internet the last couple of weeks, that apparently he's not going to be facing any sort of severe punishment as of yet.
Yeah.
But it looks like, according to these rumors, that he might be getting a face turn.
Hold on a second.
What?
Isn't that kind of a punishment for the guy?
If it runs counter to like who he is as a person?
Like, if you look in as a... You mentioned this.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned this. This was so apropos. While we were watching SmackDown, and we both noticed that he was being nice guy JBL.
Yes.
He wasn't throwing shade at anybody.
No.
You said, look at his eyes. His face looks the same as Moro's when he's not talking. Because we kind of noticed on SmackDown when they brought in Tom Phillips to be the host and his role grew and grew.
Yeah.
When he would talk, Moro would sit there and he would literally look anxious because I always joke because he wasn't talking at the time. And it's obvious the dude likes to talk. So he's in the right profession. JBL looked like his soul was slowly dying because he wasn't allowed to unleash his inner asshole.
Yeah.
Jerk. Shit. Oh. All this cursing. I don't think the cursing did anything.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
It doesn't matter. As long as the cursing's not in the title, I don't think it matters.
You're right about that. It's funny because there's been a couple other YouTubers, not to go off on another tangent but there's been a couple like JD, our friend JD from NY. He was saying, man, I spent 2 hours and I didn't say the F word once and I still didn't have any ads run on my shit. Poor JD. My heart goes out to him. I love his stuff.
Yeah.
So there's no actual punishment. Here's kind of the thing, though, that I – can you really punish the guy – for a career of being an asshole? Because what if you, let me ask you this. He was nice guy JBL behind the scenes for 20 years, okay? Everybody said, oh, he's the greatest guy. But he was this heel character on TV. If everything stayed the same in terms of what we saw on TV, do you think a punishment would be warranted?
I assume you're specifically talking about the Bring It to the Table segment.
Correct.
And also JBL and Moro's interactions on TV.
Yeah.
If that was the only thing, no?
Me neither.
No.
Because here's the thing, and I don't know, I honestly don't know if Moro's issue, if the reason he, you know, and we know what we've heard.
Yeah.
If the reason he might have suffered this, what would you call it? A regression, a sudden bout of depression that recurred? I don't know what. If his issues with JBL were simply what we saw on TV and not anything we saw behind the scenes, I'm kind of up in the air on, really? Because if when the cameras aren't rolling, if they're talking like they're buddies, but all that happened was JBL on the air saying, hey, you know, he's out there retweeting praise for himself, then I honestly don't see what the issue is. What are your feelings on that?
No, I mean, it seems... Yeah, no, I as you said, if backstage, if JBL was, you know, like legitimately the nicest guy, never bullied anybody,
mm-hmm.
and these were the only incidents, it would just mm-hmm. seem like, okay, here's at most two coworkers who really aren't, you know, they're, for whatever reason, they're just not flowing together.
Which seems like something that could be handled on the production side creatively when they say, hey.
You've mentioned this before. It's like, you know, it seems like there's tension, even just in terms of the production aspect of it, what their chemistry is like on camera. That's something where a producer has to sit down with them and say, okay, we need to work this out. Here are some areas maybe that you guys can, you know, work together on.
Mm-hmm.
Here's areas where perchance we can improve on.
By the time Jerry Lawler, right before they took him off commentary when he was next to Moro, by the time that happened, I didn't watch a whole lot of SmackDown at the time simply because it was pre-brand split and there was no reason to watch it. It was essentially a Raw recap show, but everybody would say good things about Moro. And I liked his play calling. And the thing that I really liked about him and Lawler, and I mentioned this before, was he would ask Lawler to relate, like, what's happening in the ring or what's happening story-wise. He would say, hey, Lawler, in your experience, which is vast, you know, could you relate something like that? And Lawler would be really good at, like, giving it some sort of anecdote or a related story from his past, which is always great.
And the thing is, there was nothing like that between...
I know.
Moro and JBL.
I know. And JBL has an extended history in the business.
But you have to, you know, we don't know if that was direction.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or if that was just, they just had no chemistry or maybe they just didn't like each other.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there's information out there and all we have is a few public incidents and some Twitter posts.
Mm-hmm.
But without kind of knowing the full story, it's hard to make an accurate judgment.
Based
solely on these incidents.
Right, exactly. I'm surprised that there hasn't been... So, you know, over the past week, 2 weeks, We've had a plethora. That what was that article that we did that we
oh yeah yeah there fight. Was a Fightful that we
Fightful.
Saw yeah.
It's linked in the Dirt Sheet article, and it's just a history of like people talking about JBL. I'm surprised, given how leaky the WWE seems to be with all their stories, there was nothing regarding Morrow behind the scenes. I think we would have heard, like, it surprises me that we haven't heard if something did happen, but it seems like everything that led to him leaving, Morrow leaving, played out on camera or on Twitter. Which seems like a sort of situation, and maybe it was the kind of situation it could be, pure speculation. Maybe Morrow approached a producer and said, hey, this isn't working. Can we try to get us on the same page? And maybe they no-sold him. Maybe they said, this is just JBL. You're going to have to deal with Matt. In which case, it would be like, okay, well, this just sucks to be working here. And then I can totally understand why maybe his depression flared up, because he doesn't want to be in that situation. It's awkward.
Yeah. But also, I think the bring it to the table segment, that's got to be tough to watch. You know, where, you know, even I'm guessing Morrow didn't know anything about it in advance.
Yeah, I would
he wasn't
guess that
there.
Too. I would guess that too.
So that, you know, JBL can always say, well, I was just in my heel character.
Yeah.
But, you know, seeing your broadcast colleague there, you know, like talk shit mm-hmm. about you for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. that's got to be tough to watch. When you don't know about it.
Let me ask you, did you watch the segment?
I haven't seen it yet. I was going to try to watch it before we started recording today. I didn't have time.
Honestly, it's not that bad. He's very boisterous in talking about Morrow tweeting. It's honestly no different. Like, if you did something similar, you know, I get very animated and shit, and you know when I'm clowning.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the heel heat thing on you.
Yeah.
It honestly wasn't any different than that.
But here's the thing. We've known each other for 20 years.
No, I know. It's totally different. It's totally different. And I'm not inside Morrow's head. It does seem to be an element of maybe just his disposition, his mental, you know, whatever, his mental state of mind isn't cut out for that kind of business. Because I think that, I don't know. I don't want to downplay what he went through, yeah. what he's going yeah. through at all.
And again, we don't know the full story.
If JBL started clowning me for my Twitter use the way he did on Bring It to the Table, I would probably find it kind of funny. But then on the other hand, if he was an asshole to me when the cameras weren't rolling, I'd probably be like, man, fuck that guy, you know?
Again, we don't know. We don't,
we
know,
don't know
the full
exactly.
story.
We don't know.
And especially when you hear what has played out within the context of JBL's
that's true.
Long history of bullying and hazing mm-hmm. people backstage.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't really, it doesn't put him across in the best light.
But that's sort of going back to the original point. Now let's take a question here from Fat Bastard Champ Alex Foster. He says, WWE is going to turn JBL face. Is it going to work? And does it tick anyone else off? I assume Alex Foster means he's kind of ticked off that there's no punishment. I still think that, hey, if you were going to punish him for all this behavior that seemed to have been endorsed by Vince, by mm-hmm, all accounts, mm-hmm. then the punishment would have happened. Now, I think the question is, are we going to get a change of culture?
That would be the more salient issue, because whether JBL stays or goes, if the culture about bullying internally in WWE doesn't change, it's kind of not going to matter.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In terms of fostering a better work environment.
I would think, and this is just me speculating because I've been in workplaces before, such a public incident like this, that, you know, usually it's when you get publicly shamed that changes happen. And the WWE, for all intents and purposes, have been publicly shamed here.
Yeah.
They took action. They're going to make basically neuter JBL, his heel character,
yeah.
which has kind of been his thing since he was, you know,
A singles competitor,
exactly. And so I would imagine that this is the kind of thing that they're going to say, can't do that anymore. It wouldn't surprise me. I don't know if we're going to hear about it, if it does happen or not. If they bolster the ranks of their HR department and say, hey, you know what? We kind of got to, the hazing thing has to go. There can still be a locker room. We've even seen through anecdotes from the past to what we see today on things like Up, Up, Down, Down. We've seen a change in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's one question I'd love to ask somebody who's been there way back and who's still there now, is how the locker room has changed. I wouldn't be surprised if they said, yeah, like, people seem to want to get themselves, get each other over. They seem like there's a camaraderie.
Well, I mean, in one of JBL's previous statements, I believe it's mentioned in the Fightful article. I'll put the link for it in the description for this, where he talks about how, you know, when he came up in the industry, there was a lot of hazing backstage because back then, I guess in the 80s, there was still a potential of riots happening.
Oh, yeah.
At shows, and they were trying to make sure people, I guess, were either mentally or physically tough enough when that happened that the wrestlers would all have each other's back.
Yeah.
That isn't the case anymore.
Right. First of all,
riots at shows don't happen.
Yeah, exactly,
secondly,
yeah.
if you're busting your ass for 10 or 15 years in the indies, you know, putting your body on the line for $50 at most some days, I don't think you can really question their physical toughness and probably not their mental toughness either.
Right, exactly.
I just think the way of doing things back in the day is so different than how things are done now that they have to adjust kind of the culture in the locker room to kind of come up to how things are operating now.
Yeah.
It's so different.
To sort of piggyback onto that, fan club president. Well, Terrence Thompson. It says fan club president here.
I mean, I think it's copied and pasted directly from Patreon.
He's a straight up fan club. I think there was something before that. Terrence Thompson, our good friendo, says, is it irony that seemingly all of the old school wrestlers are all standing up for JBL, and the 90s and 2000 wrestlers are calling him an asshole, essentially. So, like, the old school guys are saying there's nothing wrong with him. I have noticed, like, guys like, who's the other guy I'm bringing to the table? The podcast, Peter Rosenberg?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He stood up for JBL, but it's like, you got to figure, well, he's got a job to do. You know, it's like, he's there, he's making a career partially off of being ingrained in the WWE, and there's,
I know.
So, you can't really take that, but... But there is an there does seem to be, like, the guys from the older school are sticking up for him, and the guy and people from, like, the newer school kind of aren't. You know, they're kind of just coming out and saying, "Well, yeah, he's kind of a dick." Like, nobody is outright blasting him. That still, like, has ties to the company.
But I mean, like I said, a lot of these guys, like Seth Rollins, like Kevin Owens, they wrestled so long in the indies. They probably all know each other very well. They're all friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
And I don't know with certainty this is the case, but I'm guessing that kind of hazing doesn't happen in indie shows.
Oh, yeah.
Because by and large, ribbing.
Your payday is a haze.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
There's ribbing, I'm sure. People play jokes on each other.
Yeah, people like doing that.
But there's no effort to kind of, to question people's mental or physical toughness on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure. I'm just guessing that doesn't happen on the indie scene as much because all these guys travel together and all friendly.
Yeah.
So when they all move up to the main roster, that's the culture they're used to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it's kind of, I'm guessing at certain times, butting head with the older way things were done, you know, previously. And that's probably the conflict that's happening backstage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see here. Paul Ayanada has a good question here. He says, what do you guys think of Moro doing play-by-play for Ryzen MMA in Japan over the weekend? Do you think the WWE allowed him to do it while he's under contract so he would keep quiet?
Meltzer tweeted about this over the weekend. He said Moro's WWE contract only covers wrestling. So he can only, in terms of wrestling, while he's under contract, he can only cover WWE content.
Mm-hmm.
He can apparently do whatever MMA stuff he wants to when he's not on, you know, WWE's time.
Now, that being said, Meltzer also did indicate in the Wrestling Observer newsletter, I believe, that WWE, they are trying to reach, they reached out to Moro's people. They're reaching a settlement, which will no doubt include him keeping quiet about the entire thing.
Yes.
He did, there were a couple sort of digs during his commentary and on his Twitter since he went back to Ryzen in Japan. And he said something along the lines of when, I guess there was a fighter who came out, Jazzy something or another. And he said, former pro wrestler. And by the way, it feels great to be able to say pro wrestler, and current MMA fighter, blah, blah, blah. And so there was that. He said something on Twitter about, so happy to be back in a two-man booth again. I don't know. There were a couple little subtle digs like that. So I don't know. That's what he's doing.
I'm just happy to see that he's you know, he's healthy.
Yeah.
Getting back out there doing work.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to see a guy suffering.
No.
We have a video question here from TGX. Let's see what he has to say about it.
My question for you today is is it really even worth it to turn JBL face when, considering the crowds are chanting Fire Bradshaw, like, is it really even worth it to turn him face at this point? because at the end of the day, people aren't going to forgive him just because his character is... just because his character is a nice guy suddenly. That just, it's not going to work. I don't think it's worth it, but what do you guys think? Is it worth it to turn JBL face? Thanks, friendos. Too sweet. And, I don't know, I'll say it again. Subscribe to TGX Game Reviews because I'm a fucking shill. Anyways.
Thank you, TGX.
Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, then there's this element of, is that going to... because it's one thing for the WWE just sort of not punish him, but to turn him face... are the crowds going to let this die? You don't think so?
Not short term.
Not anytime soon. I'm of the same opinion. Do you think, like, what's the breaking point? If the chants get as bad as the CM Punk chants initially were, that's going to be a major problem.
If it starts seriously taking away from the shows, then at that point, they'll have to act.
I mean, if all JBL can do is sit there while everybody's chanting at him, and, you know, live on the broadcast, say, oh, I love these passionate fans. They're so passionate. Then that's going to be kind of awkward.
Yeah, it's going to be really awkward.
So what does your gut tell you? Do you think it's going to be so bad that he's going to be gone, or is he going to stick around? WWE can be very stubborn.
Yeah, and I think my feeling is Vince will try to weather the storm as long as he can.
Yeah, I agree. And something tells me he's going to stick around. Something tells me he's going to stick around because I think that in the end of it's not major enough that, you know, the bottom line is the crowd's there. He shows up before the show goes live, obviously comes down the ramp. They're going to boo him. They're going to say fire JBL.
Oh, yeah.
That'll probably happen for a while. But once the show kicks off, you kind of forget about him as the live crowd. You know, it's like you just sort of forget that he's there. So I think the chance will be bad. I don't think it's going to get to the point where they're going to have to take him off air. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next video question from M. Andrews. Let's see what M has to say.
So this isn't necessarily one pertaining to a story that broke this weekend. It's actually last weekend. It's about the JBL bullying story. I just watched this past week's SmackDown, and you guys are right, JBL doesn't say shit. And as somebody who's personally struggled with bullying and who has struggled with depression, I think he should be fired. I think, especially with the WWE having the Be a Star program and having such a tough stance on bullying, I just think it's really fucked up that he's still with the company. But I kind of pose this question to you and the friendos. I mean, do you think he should be, you know, terminated Hulk Hogan style, scrubbed from everything and they pretend he doesn't exist, or just released, or what should be the punishment here? Thanks, Rendos. Have a good one.
If somebody had said, JBL, stop doing this. If somebody above him had said, don't do that anymore. If whoever is producing, bring it to the table, cut that out of the thing. You know, like... how can he be punished for stuff that he was able to get away with? He wasn't defying orders, obviously, because they could have cut that stuff out, or they could have told him to cut it out.
Yeah.
So, I don't know that he should be punished because, like...
Well, you're speaking specifically about these incidences with Moro, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. I mean, look, the stuff that he's done to you know, allegedly getting people to try to steal Justin Roberts' passport... allegedly telling the Hardys to break toothpicks off in Don Callis's car.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to go back. Hey, remember that time you did that? You're punished. Like you're released. You can't really do that. I could see them releasing him as like a scapegoat, as the face of the problem. But
unless the cultural issues within WWE are addressed as well.
And on top of that, they might have a wrongful termination issue on their hand because he evidently, allegedly has carte blanche to do this shit from Vince. How can they punish him for that? You know, I'm just doing what Vince is basically is giving me the license to do. No, none of the producers told me not to do it. You know, all I did really was talking about tweeting on air. So I don't know. I mean, you can't really punish a guy. Now, if you want to save face, like kick him to the back and you know.
Yeah, just remove him off TV.
Give him a backstage role.
Something like that.
You know, keep him on the network or something. So if you want to like if you want a public display that you've changed your attitude, you've changed your culture, if you want to show that, take him off air.
Yeah.
But they might have a problem terminating because I don't, you know.
Yeah. It's a fairly complicated issue. Yeah, I don't know either.
They're not. I mean, they can't. they're not going to scrub him from his history, from the company's history. No. It's not that bad.
The odds are, if he is taken off air, it'll be quietly, and I don't know if he'll be out and out released.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suspect it'd be more a situation. Well, there's two situations. Either he's just kind of quietly moved to a backstage role,
mm-hmm.
or they quietly cut him loose, and then in a few months to a year, bring him back on.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, at this point, look, my thing is they don't need him.
No.
They have an army of people who could do exactly what he does.
Yeah.
Does anybody tune in to SmackDown for JBL?
No.
No?
No.
I would speculate.
He's not essential to the show.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, we should be clear, too, that we're trying to talk about his punishment within context of this most recent incident,
mm-hmm.
and that is in no way making light or condoning anything he's done in terms of the hazing stuff in the past.
Right.
Because it's awful. Yeah. I mean, his behavior he's exhibited in the past is awful.
Who goes up to a dude in the shower and starts touching his butt?
I don't know. It's awful.
What are you doing, man?
And without knowing the full story of what happened between him and Mauro, it's hard to make, you know, like a clear judgment in terms of what punishment he should face.
Yeah, not understanding what happened when they're not on the air, not understanding yes. what happened between producers and them.
And especially if Mauro has to sign some sort of gag order mm-hmm. with the settlement, we'll probably never know.
Yeah, we'll probably never know, exactly. In happier news on the commentary table, Booker T is back!
Awesome.
6 weeks, six glorious weeks on Raw. Can you dig it, sucker? I can. I'm
yeah.
super hyped about this. WWE announced on Friday that Booker T will fill in for David Otunga while he's off filming a movie for 6 weeks.
Yes.
David Otunga is going to be in another movie. That's rad. Good for him. He was just on CSI. Now he's going to be a billion-dollar franchise guy.
Yeah, they're really saying it was a major action franchise he landed a role in. I can't remember if they actually announced what the franchise was.
I didn't see that they announced what the franchise was. You think it's like the 12 Bullets franchise? 12,
maybe.
Was it 12 rounds?
12 rounds.
12 rounds?
How many 12 rounds movies have
is
there
he
been?
Gonna
five?
Be the new Marine? Is he going to be the new The Marine? That's the Miz's territory right there. You're not taking
yeah,
that away
that's his
from
franchise
him.
Now.
What? So let's speculate. What possible action major franchise can this be?
Well, I guess we have to ask ourselves, is this a WWE-produced film?
You would think.
Or is this a film produced by a real studio?
I would think that the WWE might have got the rights to, like, a dormant action franchise.
In an effort to revive it?
I'm thinking, off the top of my head, Delta Force. He's going to lead the
oh, that'd
new
be awesome.
Delta Force.
That'd be cool.
That'd be cool, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I can think of like a number of other WWE superstars I'd much rather see as the new Delta Force. Right?
Yeah, but...
Over David Otunga?
David Otunga could be a really good member of the team.
Yeah. Are they doing anything with Predator? They could redo Predator.
I think they're doing a remake of that.
Another remake
yeah.
of Predator? Because I was going to say he could do the Carl Weathers role. He could be Dylan. Hey, Dylan, what's the matter? CIA got you pushing too many pencils? Fuck you. Okay. Okay, Dutch.
Trying to think of some other 80s action.
Put a bone
franchise.
In there. You got a stew going.
Anyways.
Action Otunga. Action Jackson. Action Otunga.
Booker T is back. Let's talk about that because that's exciting.
Oh, I'm super hyped about that. James Rodriguez says, since Booker T is set to temporarily act as a third commentator on Raw for the next 6 weeks, who do you think will replace him once that time is up, assuming they decide not to bring Otunga back?
It'll be Otunga.
Yeah, he'll come back. I'd prefer just Booker T to stay, though.
But you know, now that he's on a different show with different commentators, the dynamic might be different.
Yeah, dude, don't try to polish that turd, man.
I'm just trying to be hopeful.
Yeah, I'm not. I have no reason to be, so I'm not.
Okay,
you have no, dude. You have no reason to be hopeful about
maybe,
that.
Maybe Otunga.
Hey, go ahead.
Maybe sitting there
yes!
next to the tension between
yes!
Mauro and JBL.
Right. I think
made
you're right.
Otunga uncomfortable, so he couldn't. Be comfortable. He couldn't be his natural
you're
self.
You're right, dude. If I'm sitting here right after Hilton did whatever that stuff
was
to
you,
thing.
I don't remember this.
While you
at all.
Had murder face,
don't remember that at all.
Oh, you were so upset with him. So upset. If I'm sitting here, I'd probably be David Otunga-esque too.
Yeah.
That's a good point. All right. We have hope
yes.
that because the team of Michael Cole and Corey Graves seem to be on the same page, And here's the thing, you know, they're getting rid of that bullying shit. They're not doing the Corey Graves being, he's going to be kind of a face too. He'll run down the Drifter. He'll run down certain superstars.
Well, you could be a heel commentator without doing a bullying stuff.
Right, exactly. Basically, you just back the bad guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like all that shit with Corey Graves and Byron Saxon, that's not going to be going down with him and Otunga.
No.
Let's see here. Nico Hemmerling. While I think Booker will fit in good, could you think of a single reason why they don't put JR on commentary while he's under contract?
He's only contracted, I think, for 30 or 40 dates.
JR has said that he does not want the weekly grind.
Yes.
This is the travel grind. He said that himself.
Yes. That is 100% true.
I'm excited, man. I freaking love Booker T.
Yes, I can't wait.
He's the best.
He is.
He's going to be running for mayor of Planet Houston, I think.
Correct.
He'll be the what is on the who's the leader of Planet Houston?
Yes,
it's Booker T.
I know it's gonna be incredible.
Who would win, Booker T or Zod?
In an election?
No, who would win? In whatever fashion you think Zod would throw down with somebody.
Well, I mean,
he's Zod, a Kryptonian.
Yeah, Zod can shoot lasers from his eyes.
Kind of hard to say Booker T, isn't it?
I know.
You got a spinneroonie versus laser beams, and he can throw buses. Sorry, Booker T, you're not winning that. Now, Harlem Heat versus Zod, maybe, because then you got one guy doing one thing and then slap Jack from the side.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want to see that? Oh, man.
Speaking of potential battles.
Yeah.
So Kurt Angle, upon his return to WWE, spoke about the potential of him wrestling again in the WWE. Once they kind of got past the Hall of Fame ceremony.
Well, Trey, he said that he was on a phone call with Triple H, and he says, hey, you know, what about me as a wrestler? And Triple H said, this is what they're going to type.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was my Triple H. I find it funny that you're asking me about that.
So Sportskeeda, again, had an exclusive report today, Monday, which suggests that Kurt Angle's first feud in a WWE ring could be against Seth Rollins. This is a quote from the Sportskeeda story. The tentative plan is that Angle will show his loyalty to the McMahons by screwing Rollins down the line. Seeds were planted for a potential match this week on Raw when the pair interacted during a segment. That's when Angle said, you know, as long as I'm GM of Raw, you're going to be here.
Yeah.
Should Angle not be able to pass a medical, it's still likely that WWE will go ahead of the story, but have Kurt Angle handpick an opponent for Rollins instead.
I'm going to pick this apart a little bit.
Okay.
Because it doesn't really make sense. What do you really think they're gonna? Okay, who in this situation? Angle would be the heel.
Yeah, it seems like they're, which is gonna be hard to do. Second, yes. It seems like it's just a redo of the Triple H Rollins storyline.
Well, third, also the logic here: seeds were planted for a potential match this week on Raw when the pair interacted during a segment. The seeds were planted for a Samoa Joe Seth Rollins match. That's what was planted. I could see if they said Samoa Joe versus Angle. I could see that.
Yeah.
I don't see this at all.
Well, let's get to this next, our question here, because he brings up another report.
And if I'm wrong, that's fine. I'll, you know, eat my words.
Mike Demopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
In yesterday's countout, we called The Miz a loser because he had nothing to do.
Losing wrestler.
Well, he was a superstar shakeup loser.
Yes.
There are tons of rumors claiming that he is set to feud all summer with Kurt Angle, leading to a SummerSlam blow-off that they couldn't get with Bryan on SmackDown Live. And I believe he's referencing, I think Meltzer mentioned this in an episode of Wrestling Observer Radio.
Yeah, I listened to that, yeah.
Yeah. His question is, do you think that's a good idea, or will it just seem like a same shit, different toilet scenario?
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic, because you have two really, really good talkers.
Yes.
You have two guys who can be very entertaining.
Yes.
I like it a lot. I think it's great.
It's, you know, the beef between The Miz and Daniel Bryan was very specific in terms of wrestling style. You can just slightly deviate from that and still be applicable with Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Miz would just pivot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's fantastic. I think it's great.
It seems a more likely.
The seeds were planted. You could even say the seeds were planted for that on Raw. Did you see seeds when you saw the Kurt Angle Seth Rollins thing? Did you say, "Oh man, SummerSlam"?
No, because Kurt Angle seemed very genuine.
I know Kurt Angle. There's nothing to indicate that Kurt Angle is going to go heel,
and it's going to be tough to get him over as a heel.
Yeah, I don't get this at all.
But it could still happen.
Yeah, it could. Look, man, they might,
and it'd be a great match. I'd look forward to that.
Sportskeeda might have a plant. They might have a contact who is a high-level WWE writer, because that's who it would take to get this info out.
Yes.
Hey, Sports Kita. Joe Sports Kita, let me tell you something real quick. Angle versus Seth Rollins. Click. We planted the seeds on Raw with a very cordial conversation. But again, they could have somebody. You they could. What? No, I'm not talking shit because I like Sports Kita.
Yeah, I do too. Here's a way they can handle it without maybe Angle doing a full heel turn. I'm just going to put this out there. So it's even really thought out. I'm just going to.
The reluctant authority figure?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Where Vince gave Kurt the job, so Kurt feels obligated to you know, be loyal to the McMahons, even though he kind of knows what he's doing isn't exactly right.
Yeah.
They could do it that way.
Yeah, they could. They could. That's so. The problem with that, I mean, I think that's the only way they could do it. You're so neutering Seth Rollins as a face. Like, you need him against those monster heels like Samoa Joe for him to be an effective face. Otherwise, nobody buys it.
Yeah.
When he had literally
no real feud, I know.
6 months of him just not having a feud, and the best they can do with him was calling Chris Jericho Sparkle Crotch. That was terrible.
It wasn't very good.
Nobody wants to see him feud with Chris Jericho. Everybody loves him.
Well, people want to see him feud with Chris Jericho just for the right reasons.
Hey, we got ourselves an exclusive.
Yeah.
An exclusive here on Going In Raw.
Steve,
we have the definitive.
Give us the story.
Shelton Benjamin update on his status with the WWE. Now, over the weekend, yesterday, me and our good friend Joshua Swearingen, who is sort of, from time to time, is our Going In Raw fact checker, and he does a very good job at that.
Yes.
We sort of got a back and forth in terms of, is Shelton Benjamin coming back to the WWE? The point was, is he signed with the WWE? You would think, because my thing is, you would think that with the vignettes that they ran on him, that he had signed the ink.
Yeah.
But we had also known that from the Hardys contract situation, they need to pass the physical before they actually sign on the dotted line. And that makes sense because the WWE contracts, I believe, are guaranteed.
Well, they have a downside guarantee.
They have a downside guarantee. So it's like, why would they offer up this money if they don't know that you're cleared to wrestle? And so on top of that, he had announced via his Shelton Benjamin via his Twitter that he was A, taking dates, accepting bookings.
And B, medically cleared.
Medically cleared. Yeah, I'm sorry. First of all, medically cleared. B, taking bookings. And C, he was advertising some shows. He's doing a tour of Chile.
Yeah, he's got a show April 21st in New York.
Right, exactly.
Coming up very soon.
And so I didn't even realize, because I hate tagging people of the subject of the conversation, but Joshua had tagged Shelton Benjamin in his original post on it. And I was like, yeah, he's not signed WWE. And Joshua said, no, he is signed to WWE. And I said, no, he's not. He said, yes, he is. And so Shelton finally stepped in. I actually tweeted at Dave Meltzer because usually he knows all this
shit. I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, he no-sold me. But the man himself, well, because Shelton
Benjamin. I think recently in the newsletter, he had a thing, I read at least, that he was still unclear what Shelton Benjamin's status was.
All right. But anyways, Shelton had no problem saying in a tweet to me and Joshua.
Hey, I was on it too.
You were on it too. Okay. There you go. I think one other friend of us too.
I was driving while this all was going down.
He said, let me clear this up now. I am not signed to WWE. I never signed due to injury. While that could change as of 4/16/2017, I am a free agent. So it's clear. Because I looked everywhere. Like while I was beefing with Joshua,
yeah.
I was like, looking, I was like, well. And then he would show me like some little things that could be interpreted one way, but if you look at it, it could be interpreted another way.
Well, this morning I did a Google News search for Shelton Benjamin, seeing if there was any clear cut answer one way or the other. Yeah. And generally what those articles were saying was Shelton Benjamin's status unclear with WWE.
Yeah, yeah. Because he had said, I think there was a What Culture interview?
Yeah, recently after he was cleared, yeah.
And he had said, my goal is to get back to the WWE. My goal is to return. Well, usually if you're signed, they just keep you, you know, and you do that. But you're not taking indie dates if you're signed with WWE.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's clear. Exclusive here. Accidental exclusive. Anyways, thanks to Joshua Swearingen for bringing it up.
And thanks to Shelton for
Shelton
for giving us an answer.
Exactly.
We do have a question here about Shelton Benjamin. Daniel L. Rudo. Hey, friendos. Happy late Easter. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Been weeks since had a question answered. Can today be the day?
Today is the day.
Yes. So at WrestleMania weekend, the gold standard Shelton Benjamin interviewed with Woke Culture and said he was cleared. Which brand do you see him returning to and when? And who does he have a program with? Thanks, friendos. Well, I mean, he was originally intended to sign with or join SmackDown.
I'm really hoping that the indie dates not just serve as income for Shelton, but maybe it's also, I have no idea because they're never going to say, but maybe there's an agreement. Hey, let's see what you can do out there.
Yeah.
Take some dates.
Kind of, you know, get the ring rust off. It's been several months since he's wrestled.
Right, exactly. But I wouldn't see any reason why they wouldn't want him. He's a great, he's a fantastic talent.
Shelton Benjamin is outstanding.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
The only thing, only reason I could think why they might not bring him in, to SmackDown at least, is maybe they feel like they've addressed their upper mid-card issues after the Superstar Shakeup, and they don't feel like there's necessarily a good spot to put him in right now.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I can think why they might not bring him back pretty soon.
You know, here's the thing. What is the WWE lacking right now? Heels.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Pro Wrestling Noah, he was a member of Suzuki Gun.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a heel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, come in, people are going to cheer, and then you do something dastardly.
Yes.
That's usually what heels do.
They do.
Dastardly things. Like
yes.
That's right. So, I would say... the SmackDown just got an influx. I mean, they got Sami Zayn, they got
Kevin Owens.
But you could bring him in as sort of a shot in the arm for American Alpha.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Just start up a small faction there.
Give it 2-4 months.
What if he comes
after the shakeup and then bring him in? Yeah.
What if he comes in to a hero's welcome? American Alpha
come out to welcome him back.
Yeah. But how about this though? How about he comes out when the New Day are out there? After they make their SmackDown debut, American Alpha comes out for some friendly competition, but they go heel on the New Day. Then you have 3 versus 3. You can kind of split one guy off the New Day to take on Shelton Benjamin, maybe like Big E or something, or maybe Kofi's going to have like a really athletic match. And then American Alpha can take on the remainder of the New Day, and you have a heel American Alpha. You give them something to do.
Yeah, that'd be good.
There you go. All right, it's mail time. We got mail, Larson.
Mail.
This cardboard box just appeared
magically. From nowhere.
Penultimate Tommy Wiseau, old school friendo.
This is from Jason Jimerson, I think is what it says.
Is he related to Jimmer Fredette? If you guys want to send us stuff, you can to P.O. Box 1814, Orangevale, California, 95662. It's in the description. Oh, man. This could be cool.
We have a letter here. Greetings, friendo Steven Larson. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Jason J3 Jimerson, and I was wondering if it wasn't too late to donate to you and your Newsplex set.
Looking at it, baby.
We now just have one set.
Yeah.
I've been a huge fan of professional wrestling for most of my life and wanted to see who on YouTube shared my love of wrestling as much as I. Sure enough, I came across some of your reviews on Monday Night Raw, and was instantly hooked.
You got something really cool here.
What?
This is fucking rad. Well, I'm reading the note first. Sorry,
okay.
Not to catch
okay.
You up.
And was instantly hooked from that time forward. I love all your videos of reviews on Raw, SmackDown, WWE pay-per-views, your top 10 lists, and thanks to you, my love for New Japan and Ring of Honor. I also love your wrestling videos with W. Steve W. and Fun Wrestling. Thank you. You guys are the top-notch golden power to reviewing anything involving professional wrestling. So in conclusion, and close with this letter, some things I hope you can fill out your Newsplex set, or if not, just to have as a way of saying thanks for all of your hard work entertaining me and all of the friendos who watch and listen to you on a weekly basis. The items include several promotional cards from my hometown indie promotion in Erie, Pennsylvania, called Pro Wrestling Rampage, and a large t-shirt from said promotion. Thanks again, and live long and prosper to both of you, Jason Jimerson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jason.
Very nice. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmer.
See what we got in here. Large t-shirt.
Oh, nice. That's for you. Oh, look at that.
That's cool.
Pro Wrestling Rampage.
Rampage. And then we got a bunch of cards.
Oh, nice. Oh, cool. Look at that. A bunch of promo cards. Look at that. Put some of these on our set. Simply Sexy Sean Blaze with Richard Davenport versus Lumberjack LaRue. This is a bevy of kayfabe corner names.
I know.
The Riot Squad versus the Dead Wrestling Society, Big League, and Kevin Bennett. War of the Worlds 8-man elimination tag match. That's cool.
Cool.
Very cool. Thank
these
you,
Jason.
These
are awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. So we're going to have to find something special for this one.
Okay. All right. Shane Douglas was at one of their shows.
The Franchise. All right. So listen up. This is from the penultimate Tommy Wiseau. Oh, hi, Marks. You helped me to get back into wrestling, and as such, I've been watching a lot of old school wrestling. My favorite match being a non-match, a look inside of the mind of Vince, being the Royal Rumble 89 pose down with Rick Rude and the Ultimate Warrior. That's his favorite wrestling segment. As a thank you for all of your work, all of the hours of great content, please enjoy the most premier gift in all of wrestling. And having seen this, I can agree. That's what it is. Larson, you have to let Lex Luger into the Hall of Fame. He's a total package. Steve, if Larson gives you reasons why he won't accept Lex, please quote various Gorillas of Destiny lines at him. For example, fuck you, eat shit.
Okay.
Fuck. Penultimate timing wise out. All right, well, first of all, we got to see what this is here.
Ooh.
Yeah, shit.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Muscle for muscle, who's more awesome, Luger or Hogan?
Wow.
Answer now.
Luger.
Oh, God. It looks like his bush right there. And then we got a Rick Rude. There's Rick Rude. And we got another one. Oh, like Lex appeal.
More Lex.
The complete package unwrapped. Is it going to be nothing but live nudes of Lex? All right. So, all that's great. That's fantastic.
Yes.
We need to figure out.
I get an idea of what that is.
We need to figure out what the stakes are for this.
Okay. Well, let's see it.
We're going to need to do like a new series. Some sort of versus thing.
Okay, let's see.
Because this is going to be a prize we're going to want to fight over. Thanks to the penultimate Tommy
Produce
Wiseau.
The belt. I see it's a belt. But I don't know what's on the plates. I want to see.
I do. I know it's on the plates. Is it bugging you?
Yes.
Probably. It's the H title. Trying to get it so that you can... There we go.
Oh, that is fantastic.
It's the H title.
That is so awesome.
He made an H title. Look, it's got real plates. It says Steve and it says Larson.
Oh, my goodness.
It's the H title.
That's incredible. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's fantastic. That is a beautiful belt. We have to come up with a way to fight over who has the H title. It even says H title. That is so fantastic.
That is awesome. Thank you so much.
That is absolutely amazing. That is, look at that.
It's gorgeous.
Look at, it's H. That's great. That is fantastic.
That is glorious.
Thank you very much. Penultimate Tommy Wiseau.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Can't thank you enough.
Now we have to come up with a whole show centered around the H title.
Absolutely. Well, we've been thinking of different things to do.
Now we have to do one.
Look at that. That's fantastic. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Yes, thank you
very much. And that's it for Monday edition news show of Going In Raw.
Yes.
Yeah. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.
H title.